Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's the beginning of the end.
What? There we go.
Oy.
Monday, September 24th. Be there for the start of Big Bang's final season.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Get ready to celebrate the biggest season in Bang's history.
Shall we steam the wrinkles out of our wizard robes or make vigorous, socially sanctioned love? Either way, I can check something off my to-do list.
The Big Bang Theory's final season begins.
That was weird, right? I honestly can't tell anymore.
CBS Monday, September 24th.
It all started with the Big Bang. It's expanding ever out.
Big Bang Theory is about to enter its final season on CBS. Johnny Galecki is the star of the show, who also starred in Roseanne and made an appearance in the recent reboot. He's a Chicago guy through and through, and he joins us tonight. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, David. How are you? Thanks so much for having me, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for hanging out with us. Well, first, congratulations on a long run on The Big Bang Theory, almost 12 seasons in the making. And just think, it all started in Chicago. But you were born in Belgium. So when did you and your family make your way to Oak Park?
I think I want to say it was about 2.5 or 3, actually. We lived in, he went back to school in Michigan, but we ended up there in Oak Park, I'd say about 4 or 5 years old.
So what do you remember about the city as a kid, besides Mark Giangreco, which you just mentioned to me before the call started?
I did. It was one of my first questions, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Mark Giangreco still around causing trouble.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Mark Giangreco.
That's the first thing on your list.
It was a big change from an Air Force base in Belgium and a big change from living in the sticks out in Allegan, Michigan. So, the fact that there was a fire hydrant outside the house was fascinating, never mind stoplights and what have you.
Yeah. Do you remember, what did you used to do? Did you used to hang out in the city? Did you ever go to Kiddyland? Like, what are some of your fondest memories of being a kid in Chicago?
Oh, we did go to Kiddyland, yes. Yeah, there was quite a bit of, and then my mother had gone to Kiddyland. That was just a statue for that area, certainly.
Since the 1920s, and it closed about 3 years ago.
At that age, we're talking 4 or 5, just to have a neighbor was a big deal.
Right, But
there was the community that Chicago is, and especially the neighborhoods in Chicago is. There were block parties, there were holiday parties, there was Christmas caroling, which is unheard of nowadays for whatever reason. That all of that started to sink into me, and then later, the Chicago theater community, which is just as supportive as your next door neighbors, was obviously a massive influence on me and really made it able for me to do what I still do today, 33 years later.
That's very cool. Do you still have friends and family here? Do you visit once in a while?
Yes, all my family is there.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
As much as possible.
That's
either,
great.
In a few days, as a matter of fact.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And I love it. Even in this time of year, I love it.
Right.
I know it drives people there crazy because they say, you need to deal with it, this weather, for 4 days. We deal with it for 4 months.
Right, exactly. But it's fun to come back
enough
here and
absolutely
see it.
Yeah. Fair enough. I get to say, wow, this is really pretty, and they just want to throttle me immediately. But it is beautiful there. And those those windows, and sometimes they're much too brief of spring and fall, obviously. There's no place I'd rather be.
No.
And outside of those windows, as my mother said, Chicago has 2 seasons, summer and construction.
Very true.
Winter and construction.
That's totally true. That's totally true. Now, I heard you talk about this before, and I think it was on Letterman. And you know, when you're in a city like this, yeah, Everyone gives everyone a nickname. And I had several myself.
True.
Yeah, I had several myself
give me a couple of them.
My last name's Plyer. Was
share with the audience.
It was Peeler. It was Pilfer. It was Piler. It was I got a lot of DPs, which also they made fun of. That would be dumb Pollock as well,
win.
Which I am.
You can't, really
no, you can't really win. What was yours?
Well, the one I think that was Conan, where we were.
It was Conan. It was Conan.
So the Conan at the Chicago Theater there, which was a really thrilling night. My God, The crowd was, what is the Chicago Theater there hold, like 3,000?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I get nervous still when I do those darn panel shows. At the end of the day, I enjoy surviving them.
Right.
But I'm sleepless for a week before Letterman, for example. And but you'd walk out on the stage. It's a place like Chicago Theater, and with the history that that place has, and the energy of the crowd, you don't have to do much, man. But you just
there's
you
always excitement
there.
Though.
Energy wave.
Yeah, we don't see you know like the big Hollywood you know stars here in Chicago. So when we see you here and we know you're appearing someplace, we get excited.
Well, I think that was more for Conan than me, but thank you very much. But it was lovely to be able to have my family there and support at one of those things. My great aunt, who was in her 90s at the time, was there. That was a wonderful night. That nickname that we discussed was for me, that was for a couple of years there, it was Bitfingers, which I still have no...
Bitchfingers, which...
I have no clue why that was the case.
Who gave you that name?
Masculine fingers.
Yeah.
A bartender named Boosh.
Okay, so another guy with another nickname.
There were also many other, as you said, there was, of course, there's the Go-Lucky or Happy Go-Lucky or, you know, when you have a name like Johnny, you get a lot of songs sung to you. You get Johnny Good and Johnny Angel, and it's pretty endless.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is. Well, how did you get into acting? Because I don't think you went to school for it. You were like 11 or 12 when you first got your first gig in a mini series. How did you get into it?
I started talking about it about the time that we moved there to Chicago, and you know, my father worked there as a taught blind veterans at Heinz VA Hospital outside of the city.
Okay.
And my mother was a mother and a housewife. There was nobody in my immediate family that could have been of any influence. I honestly have no idea how I even knew of the word actor at 3.5 years old. But that was my answer when adults asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And my parents, they weren't unsupportive by any means, just didn't know what to do with this odd ambition into their child, so they kind of hoped it would pass, I think, and tried to distract me with soccer and t-ball and things of that nature,
sure.
Which was just an embarrassing failure. I would strike out up at mound. There's a ball right there, and I was on the tee. I'd strike out, and when we were in the field, I was a catcher. There's no pitcher in t-ball, so basically, I was kind of like a waiter that kind of picks up your dropped fork and place it back.
But it's a sports city, though.
There you are, sir.
It's a sports city, though. You had to try it, you know.
It had to try, absolutely. Yeah. And then come 7 years old, we were sitting around a dinner table, and my parents were reading the Oak Leaves, the suburban newspaper there, for the west suburb. I'm not sure if it, I believe it does still exist.
It does, yeah.
And there was an ad for open auditions for a community theater production of Fiddler on the Roof, what was then the Village Players on South Boulevard. And they explained, you know, this is what actors need to do to get a job. The phone doesn't just ring. Do you want to go and watch people audition and learn what that is? And we did, and I ended up jumping up on stage and singing something and got a very small chorus role in the production. But from that point on, the people in that production helped my parents learn what it would take. Learn about photos and agents, if I was ever so lucky.
Sure.
And things of that nature. And that's what I mean by that's my first example of a million of how supportive that Chicago theater community is.
That's great. So I didn't know you actually started in the theater here. That's what a cool experience as a young kid. And I love the fact
that... Yeah, I did that show, and then I think I did I think next was a production of Pippin, which was downtown, which was a big deal.
Sure.
And then a production of Remember the Wedding, which I was nominated for a Joseph Jefferson Award. And that's the agents coming by to see that performance, and I think that garnered me my first agent, which resulted in some commercials and industrial films, and I'm putting myself on tape for things that were being produced in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and you were like 14, and you were pretty much living alone out there. I mean, you were getting roles and you were getting parts while your folks were back here, your family was back here, and you were out there kind of hitting the streets and doing what you had to do to make a name for yourself.
Yeah, well, we had all moved out there when I was about 13, and honestly, that lasted about 9 or 10 months. We really missed Chicago. And by the time that we found another house back home and we're ready to move back. I was under contract, and it was supposed to be for a very short amount of time, and that was some years ago.
Gotcha. Now, just a couple years later, you know, you landed in what AMC listed this year as the number two most favorite holiday movie behind It's a Wonderful Life, if you can believe that. It's Christmas Vacation.
Crazy?
How cool is that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and it was completely unforeseen. I mean, like I said, my agency at the time, we had started to put ourselves, put me on tape and send it on out, but that was exciting just to know that in itself, to know that someone in Los Angeles, someone in Hollywood was watching my tape, was watching my audition right. tape. And so the expectations were low. And on that, when I booked the role on Christmas Vacation, I was still living in Chicago. And
oh, okay.
It was that simple situation. They sent in a tape and that I had made, and casting liked it, and they flew me out to Los Angeles, and I read with Chevy Chase and Jeremiah Chechik, the director, and Chevy gave me the role that day. It was really just
wow.
a kind of whirlwind, dream come true experience.
You joined Roseanne in the fourth season, and I would imagine Roseanne was very involved in the audition process because she cast you, you know, in the role of David as Sarah Gilbert's character and Darlene's mm-hmm. love interest. That must have been an amazing experience.
Yeah, you know, I didn't audition for that. That wasn't a role that Rose or the writers had written, and then they did the kind of traditional orthodox process of reading actors. I had done a television movie with Roseanne called Backfield in Motion. It was only our best work, the two of us. But we hit it off. We played mother and son, and she asked me to come on and do one episode of Roseanne. I had three lines on it in the credit tag, and then she asked me to do three more episodes, and then she asked me to do 3 years, and it turned into almost 100 episodes.
But even back then, your timing, your comedic timing, and I know you do dramatic stuff as well, but I mean, your comedic timing at that age was very entertaining. I mean, it was always funny to watch your character on that show.
Well, thank you. I mean, I you're right. I didn't go to school for it, and I didn't really. In fact, a lot of people at that time suggested to my parents and myself that they not send to any sort of classes, because whatever was happening, you know, was happening. There wasn't
sure.
a problem at hand, so
sure.
there wasn't anything to fix, which was, I've always said that I consider myself a comedic actor. It's funny now, I've done so much comedy, I've been so fortunate to do so many comedic projects that people come up to me on the street and ask what comedy club I started in. I said, oh my God, no, I can't imagine. That's a whole different sport. But I would never ever.
But what a compliment. What a compliment, though, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. But it's just funny to me. I mean, I've always felt that, you know, that if it's funny on the page, then you play the honesty of it.
Yeah.
And if there was some unique timing that I had at that age, I think it was really just natural. I mean, I hadn't really come from, you know, my influences were very different than other kids. My
sure.
influences were not sports figures or even the other kids in the schoolyard that might be, you know, a year or two older than them. They were always the guys in the chorus line I was working with at 7 years old.
Sure.
Or, you know, the actors I had watched and performed scenes with. Or the other, at that point, the comic actors, and some of them legendary, and Chevy Chase and Rick Laid. And so, I mean, that was just kind of in me in some sort of, those were my heroes.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
course I wanted to emulate them.
Well, you had
but
a great...
I don't know how I don't know how designed it was as an artist at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. And you talk about legends that you work with. I've also heard you talk about a story about being with Milton Berle, and he was teaching you
yeah.
how to make out. Explain that, would you please?
Yeah, he had a lot of advice.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Which is basically kind of perform an upside down triangle with your eyes.
Into okay.
a woman's face. Look them in the eye, the mouth, the eye, the eye, the mouth. And next thing you know, you're making out. He wasn't wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I've put it into practice. He was a very smart man.
And he was on Roseanne?
Very productive man. He was. I think he may have even done more than one episode. I'm not sure. And he actually did an episode in drag, which, you know, for decades he had refused to do because it become such a legendary bit that he had done, especially when he did it. It was so, it really pushed the boundaries. But he did. He did it for Roseanne, which was, I can't imagine how flattered Rose was for that.
And you've done countless movies and TV appearances, and in 2007, you know, not a lot of people can say they have been on two hit television series, and you became the star of one of TV's most successful sitcoms on the Big Bang Theory. And what originally attracted you to the role to do another sitcom?
Honestly, it was the idea that the character would be struggling with love. You know, I haven't gotten many of those roles, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've played the love interest, best friend, or gay assistant, or something like that.
Right, so right. Yeah.
It was uncharted territory for me to be given that opportunity. And that's why initially, before they had more than a scene or two written, the producers talked to me about doing the role of Sheldon. I said, right. You know, I'm kind of much more attracted to this role for this reason. And I'm not saying that, you know, at that time, I certainly didn't know that the Leonard and Penny characters would be successful in the ways of love. But I knew that that's what that character would be struggling with.
But you
and
know,
that really attracted to it to me. When you think that way, you have to think best and worst case scenario. You know, you could be doing this for a number of years, playing this role, and it's going to need to be something that is going to be fun and interesting and challenging.
I was
going
to say, as an actor,
every week for what could be a decade of your life.
That's what I have to think. Yeah, that's what I have to think. Is that, you know, as an actor, you want something
being
that's not
self-protective. Yeah. I mean, the chances are that you're not going to be. But I knew that if that was the case, then that would have me galvanized every week to do the best job, to give it 110% every day.